Welcome back to the Ghost Bunny Podcast. I'm your host, Bridget Marquardt, with a brand new episode for you guys. This week, my guest is Martin Brewer from Golden State Paranormal. Martin is originally from New Zealand and moved to Anaheim, California in 2018. He is a corporate executive by day and a passionate paranormal investigator by night. However, the paranormal wasn't always part of his life. For years, Martin considered himself a 99% skeptic and a 1% believer. It wasn't until the COVID-19 pandemic that his interest in the supernatural began to grow. With time to spare and little on television, he stumbled upon a paranormal show. The compelling evidence captured on the program piqued his curiosity, and true to his nature, Martin wasn't content to take what he saw at face value, and he set out to uncover the truth for himself. In July 2022, Martin and his wife Stephanie joined a group investigation led by Nick Groff at the Washoe Club in Virginia City. The evidence and experiences they encountered that night began to shift the scales of belief for Martin. At the check-in event, they were assigned to the same investigation group as Kenny and Michelle Bardford. As the evening unfolded, an instant connection was made. By the end of the weekend, the four of them were exchanging messages and discussing future investigations. They believed their meeting was serendipity. In March 2023, the four of them returned to the Washoe Club for a private investigation, and Golden State Paranormal was born. Since then, the team has returned to the Washoe Club 10 times and has explored several other notable locations, including the Mackey Mansion, Territorial Enterprise Building, Donovan Mill, the Queen Mary, the Kellogg and Mag houses at the Heritage Museum of Orange County, and in January of 2025, they co-hosted a public investigation of the houses with Adam Berry. Martin's passion has also taken him to other iconic paranormal hotspots, including the Los Angeles Police Museum, Bobby Mackey's, Rolling Hills Asylum, and Waverly Hills Sanatorium. And you know I'm going to ask him all about those. His experiences since 2022 have changed Martin to a 99% believer, and his dedication to uncovering the truth behind the paranormal has turned a passing interest into a lifelong pursuit, blending his natural skepticism with a desire to explore and further understand the unexplained and what happens to us after we die. Martin, thank you so much for doing the show today.
It's all right. Thank you, Bridget, for having me. This is amazing.
It is amazing. I wanted to start with a little bit about how we met and kind of go into it from there. So when I very first started this podcast, Ghost Bunny Part, my first episode that I recorded, and it may have been the first one that I posted. No, it was the second one I posted.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to start with the Playboy Mansion ghost. But it was the first one that I recorded, and I went to the Kellogg house and I recorded with Darcy. And when I was there getting ready, she was like, "Do you want to set up equipment and stuff like that? Because I have a friend who we do investigations here and stuff, and he might be able to come over and just set up a few things or anything." I was like, "I would love that. That's amazing. I would never turn down that opportunity." And so she just called you, and literally 5 minutes later, you were there and you set up the dead bell and you set up a couple of other things too. And I was the flashlight. And I was obsessed with the dead bell, and we were getting so much interaction with the dead bell during the entire podcast.
It was crazy. As soon as you put it out, it was going off.
Yeah.
And same with the flashlight as well. We're having amazing interactions with the flashlight. So it was incredible. As you say, throughout the whole podcast, yeah, it was going off at times. And I've opened that dead bell up and had a look inside and how it works. There is no way that dead bell should be going off unless something electromagnetic is right in front of it.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible piece of equipment.
I mean, because we even stood next to it and waved our hands around it and stuff, and that didn't make it go off. So something has to change in the electromagnetic field to make that go off. So something has to be close. And then, I mean, so there's two ways it could happen though, right? It could be an electromagnetic field, or it could be a spirit actually hitting the button, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I've actually captured evidence of an interaction between the dead bell and an EVP, which is incredible. So this was at Bobby Mackey's. And so this was June last year in Bobby Mackey's, and they were starting to strip Bobby Mackey's because they were tearing it down. Well, they had brought Carl's bathtub, and Carl used to be the caretaker of Bobby Mackey's. And if you haven't seen what happened to Carl, there's some videos online, particularly around the exorcism that they did. But they brought the bath, where legend is that this entity that was possessing him tried to hold him under the water in the bathtub, and he managed to get out kind of last minute. So they had brought this down. We put the dead bell in the bathtub. And during one of the EVPs, I hit record on the DR60. And for some reason, I paused for about a good 5 seconds before I even asked a question. And then I asked, hey, you know, is anyone here with me? Yeah, just kind of general questions. When you play it back, there's a response. Before I even asked my first question, it says, oh, so let me take a step back. I hit record, about 5 seconds went past, the bell rang in the bathtub. So I went, hey, that's weird. Asked my first question, kept on going a couple more questions. When I played it back, before I even asked my first question, when the bell rang, the EVP says, ring the bell, and then the bell rings. It is an incredible, incredible experience. I was
wow.
So usually, you know, you ask a question on digital recorder, you wait for your question, you wait to hear what the answer is. On this one, I was like, hang on, there's a response before I even ask the question. And it's a direct correlation between the bell going off and the EVP. I mean, that is absolute evidence right there. It was crazy.
Wow. Do you have that on like a YouTube or something?
I do. Yeah, it's on YouTube. Absolutely. So you can see it exactly there, me recording. And when I play it back, you can hear absolutely clear. It says, ring the bell. And then the bell goes off. So that, incredible.
That is incredible. I was going to start this episode with the Kellogg House, but now that we're talking about Bob Mackie's, no, it's fine. Tell me how you got this invite, who you went with, how this all went down. Tell me everything.
So I was actually going to Columbus, Ohio for work. And like I usually do when I travel for work, I take equipment with me. And prior to going, I always Google haunted places close to wherever I'm going.
Oh my God, same.
Of course, I knew Bobby Mackie's as Bobby Mackie's while the Kentucky. And we were flying in and out of Cincinnati. Of course, my geography being from New Zealand, I didn't know Cincinnati borders Kentucky and Ohio. So I'm like, it came up, number one, Bobby Mackie's. I'm like, sorry, what? And so it was like right there. So this was June, the start of June. Obviously, the last ever investigation was going to happen on the 30th of June. That month. I went, had a look online, checked out their calendar, and every day was booked out. But they kept Wednesdays open, said no bookings available on Wednesdays. So I just emailed them and go, hey, you know, I'm in the area. The only day I can do it is a Wednesday. You know, don't know if this can work out. They emailed back the next morning and said, absolutely. I'm like, you're kidding me. So this was great. So so in the end, I took all of my equipment, as you do. And a colleague of mine who was with Jennifer, she investigated with us. Darcy, obviously, is who we were talking about. She couldn't let that opportunity go. So she jumped on a overnight flight and met us in Cincinnati.
I would have too.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. So, yeah, we kicked off at Bobby Mackie's, and just being there. Like, you know, you see it on TV and you go, why are they knocking it over? It's, you know, looks like a great place. And then when you're there, you're like, how is this place still standing? It's okay. Like, yeah, the floors are on an angle. There's like the floor is kind of sinking. It's like, yeah, this is dangerous. It's crazy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you tell people a little bit of the history of Bobby Mackie's? Because I know you talked about the bathtub and the guy who was possessed and stuff, but that's even more than I knew about it. Like, what I know is that it's a very, very haunted bar, and that at one point there's something in like a well or something in the basement that they think is like a gateway to hell or something.
So the history of Bobby Mackie's, and it's a little bit conflicting depending on kind of who you ask, particularly from back then. There is history around it being a slaughterhouse back in the day.
Yes.
There is, from the people that we talked to when we did the investigation, they said it was actually a distillery that was on the site. That's the reason why they had the well. From the slaughterhouse, they were saying that that's where they put, you know, basically everything down the well, and it flushed out into the river, which is right next to Bobby Mackie's. What we do know is later in life, in about the 1900s, it became a restaurant, and then the restaurant was taken over by the mob. So who knows kind of what happened during the mob days, but no doubt there was probably a lot of dealings that happened there. It in the end shut down and stood vacant for a long period of time until Bobby Mackie bought it in, I think it was like 1976, somewhere around there and turned it into a honky-tonk music hall. The story about Carl. So this is, Bobby Mackey needed someone on site to kind of maintain the premises, you know, fix things, do everything, lighting, audio, etc. So Carl used to live in the apartment upstairs. And after a while, strange things started happening to Carl. And this is obviously what I've heard, and I've seen the exorcism video, but he started to become, you know, moody. Things started to happen. He kind of wasn't himself. And they decided to get someone who dealt with exorcisms in. And you can find the video on YouTube. And I can tell you, if Carl is acting, I would probably give him an Oscar. That is absolutely incredible. But as I said, things started happening to Carl prior to that. There was obviously the bathtub incident. But something told him to go down into the basement, rip up the wooden floor, and start digging. Like, nobody knew that anything was under this floor. And he found the old well. And that's where the story of this is the portal to hell in the devil's basement kind of came around, is because Carl, in his state, went down there and just started ripping things apart and digging, and found the exact location of this well. So yeah, that's kind of the story that I know, but it's, I can tell you the basement, it's haunted. It's crazy. So, you know, good story. We started off and we did the tour with the tour guy. She kind of showed us around, showed us the hot spots. Mm-hmm. Even before we got started upstairs, I saw a shadow at the corner of my eye on stage. And I was like, do you get like kind of like shadows on? She goes, oh yeah, right in that corner. I went, yep, absolutely. So we started looking around. We went down to the basement and she took us around, kind of showed us the areas down there. And I said, okay, great. I'm going to go back to the car. I'm going to grab a couple cameras, because I just wanted to put static cameras in the basement, you know, film in there while we're upstairs. You never know what you're going to catch it. So I grabbed our cameras. I came back down and you enter through a small door. And right down the other end of the basement is a large door where, you know, a vehicle could drive through.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about 7 o'clock at night. So there's still a little bit of kind of light coming through at dusk. I opened the door, took about two steps in, I looked up, and a full shadow figure walked from the left side of the door to the right side of the door. Full-bodied. Clear as day. And I'm standing there going, oh my God. And then in my head, I'm going, I'm holding two cameras and I haven't even turned them on yet. It's like,
always.
Damn it. Always. Always. So yeah, that kind of kicked off an incredible night. So yeah, Bobby Mackey's is it was fun.
And so they've demolished it now, right?
They have. So I actually went back just before Christmas to visit the site, and it's completely demolished, which is sad. But they are apparently going to rebuild. So Bobby Mack is in a temporary location at the moment, and they're going to rebuild. And from what I understand, they are going to build it relatively kind of how it was before, but a little bit nicer. And then where the floor is over the portal to hell, they're going to do a clear floor so you can look from upstairs looking down into it. So
that's crazy. What did it feel like when you went there and you were just standing? I'm assuming it's just like a empty lot now, or?
Yeah, so it's an empty
lot. Was there any feeling there?
It's difficult because another side to the story. So we had some incredible evidence that happened there. As you do when you're at Bobby Mackey's and you have the opportunity to sit in the well, you go and sit in the well, which is what I did. Whether it was right or wrong, let's just see. But I've never had anything follow me home from any other location with the exception of Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it was crazy. It wasn't a side of things where things were happening around here. It was more of an oppression. So I'm a very outgoing, easy kind of type of person. Nothing really stresses me out.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a week after coming back and I started to feel anxious. I started to feel really kind of hyped up, kind of a little bit depressed. And it went on for almost 2 weeks and it just built every single day to a point where I had some clarity and I went, I'm not myself. So this is crazy. So I started to sage myself. And as soon as I did that, you could feel like this massive weight kind of come off my shoulders. It was an incredible experience. And I did that. A couple of weeks went by and you started feeling building up again. So I just kept on constantly saging the apartment, doing everything. And it's to a point now where it's gone. So almost going back to Bobby Mackey's when it was demolished back in December was almost kind of a relief. It was, if there is anything still attached to me, I brought you back to where you came from. You know, you got to stay here, right? So Bobby Mackey's had an energy. Absolutely. It's always a place I really wanted to go, and great, I really experienced it.
Yeah.
And I think I experienced it in kind of an amazing way. Whether it was good or bad, you take kind of what you get. So,
yeah. I mean, it is one of, or I should say was one of like the number one spots, like haunted locations. Like that's a known spot.
It was on my bucket list. And, you know, not knowing where Bobby Mackey's was, even though I was traveling to Columbus, you know, I knew it was going to be knocked over in the end of, or the last tours at the end of June. And I thought, I'm never, ever going to get to investigate it. And then by a series of events, and I always say, if it's going to be, it's going to be.
Yeah.
And something, I think, wanted me to go there and have these experiences. There's always something that kind of makes it happen.
Yeah. I'm so curious what's going to happen now if they rebuild over the same site. Like, will that same energy still be there? Will it still be haunted? Will it be worse? Will it go away? Like, I'm so curious.
Being one of the last groups to investigate it, I hope I'm one of the first groups to investigate the new location. It'd be absolutely incredible whether it is still haunted, or did demolishing it and taking away everything also take away all the spirits? It's a good question.
Yeah, it'll be so interesting. You'll have to keep us posted.
Yeah.
I'm the first to admit I'm not always the healthiest eater. I mean, I do try and incorporate healthy meals into my lifestyle because I think it's important. And it was a big goal for me this year to start being a little bit healthier with my food choices. And one way I'm doing that is with Green Chef. I think most of you guys probably know that I'm not into fad diets or dieting at all, really, but I am into eating a little bit healthier and cleaner foods. And with Green Chef, they make it easy with recipes that are curated for a variety of lifestyles and dietary needs. And one of the things I love about Green Chef is it comes with pre-made sauces and pre-proportioned ingredients. So there's less prep and less mess. Everybody's got to love that, right? One of the things I dislike about dieting is that they're not sustainable. You might be able to maintain that habit for a little while, but the real key is to create better eating habits that last. And Green Chef makes it easy with dietitian-developed recipe options featuring fresh, organic produce and quality whole foods delivered to your door each week. So join me and try and eat a little bit healthier this year. And don't tell me you're too busy or don't have enough time. They have salads that are ready in 5 minutes or less, ready to blend smoothies and grab-and-go protein-packed breakfasts. I had some delicious lemon chicken over feta couscous, and I had peanut chicken with udon noodles, and they were both delicious. And Nick loves them because he can take his portion to work with them super quick and easy. Thrive all year with clean, easy meals from Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/ghostbunnyfree and use code ghostbunnyfree to get started with free salads for 2 months, plus 50% off your first box. That's greenchef.com/ghostbunnyfree and use code ghostbunnyfree to get started with free salads for 2 months, plus 50% off your first box.
Okay, so back to the Kellogg House. You guys, I just had Adam Berry on the show too, and we were talking about his experience there and stuff. But before Adam was there, I went back and did an investigation with you guys.
Yeah.
And I took a friend who had never been investigating before, and she's always been like a super scaredy cat and never wanted to do it. She just thinks that that's like stuff she doesn't want to get into. But all of a sudden she was like, hey, if you do an investigation, let me know, I kind of am interested. And so I texted her and said, hey, I'm going, I have to drive all the way I mostly wanted somebody to do that long drive with me because it takes
you wanted the carpool, right?
It takes me like 2 hours in traffic to get just to Orange County. So I was really hoping to have somebody to drive back and forth with. And so I texted her and I was like, hey, yeah, I'm going to go do this investigation. It's over in Orange County at this house if you want to come. And she's like, I want to do it. So we drove there, and the whole way there, we're not talking about it at all. Like, I don't give her any information about it, even though I've already been there and did my podcast on it. Like, I know all about it. It just didn't even occur to me to like tell her too much about what to expect or what the house was or anything. Yeah. And then we're like a few blocks away, and I start to tell her, and I said, oh, by the way, it's probably going to be pretty active, because when I did my podcast, like the dead bell was ringing, the flashlight was going off, mm-hmm. and her face just got white. And she was like, wait, what, where are you taking me? And then I started telling her about the house, and she was like so freaked out.
She was great though. She was great when she got there, and I think she got into it. You know, when we were downstairs, you know, she really kind of got into it. And it's one of those places, I think, for your first experience, it's a great place to investigate first. Absolutely.
And yes.
It's a nice house. It's a beautiful environment. Mm-hmm. The spirits that are there are really nice. There's nothing negative there at all. So for a first investigation, yeah, absolutely. It's a solid place to start.
Yeah, and then she saw the stick figure show up on the SLS, and that was enough for her. She put her hoodie on, sat down on the couch, and said, I'm ready to go whenever you are.
I think the crazy part, though, was with her phone, if you remember. So she was taking photos and then went to look back through the photo library, and all of her photos were gone off her phone.
Yes, you guys, for the listeners, everything was gone from her phone. Every single photo of her whole entire thing was gone, not just from the house. And she was like freaking out because she has little kids, and was just like, where are all my pictures?
She turned the phone off back on again, and they still weren't there.
I know.
About 5 minutes later, she went back in, and they were all there again. And then it happened again. It happened twice in a row. And I was like, give it a minute, because this stuff does happen with equipment in the house. That was a trip.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that before.
I have not had that happen.
That was crazy. In the house, I've had my camera wouldn't turn on. So we've come into the house to start investigating. I've had my kit there, and this only happened to me the once. I was getting everything ready, and I started to feel sick. Like you'd start to kind of feel, you know, kind of just heaviness, starting to get kind of jittery. And I got to my camera, and I was setting my camera up, and I turn it on, hit record, and it was shut off. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Kept on turning it back on, hit record, shut off. Hit record, shut off. And I was like, this is weird. This has never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I actually felt so sick. I went, I got to step out. We hadn't even started yet. So I went outside and just said, look, hey, Helen, if I didn't introduce myself, and Helen's the lady of the house, Helen Caleb. You know me, I'm not here to be disrespectful in any way. You know me, I've been here before. So I just started talking to her outside and started to feel a lot better. Went back inside. Camera still wouldn't work, which was incredible. Once I got it home, I hadn't changed anything on it. Worked fine. So I had to use different cameras. We managed to record that night. But the house, it's either really super active, you got to kind of work for it and get things going.
I remember when I did my podcast too, and we were there for kind of a while because, like I said, it was our first one that we were doing, and I was working with a whole crew, and it kind of takes a while to set up. And then we recorded the whole podcast, and then we did like a tour and stuff. But after we recorded the podcast, I wasn't feeling so great. Like I needed to step out for a minute, and I went outside to my car and I got a little drink of water and ate a little granola bar, and then came back in and I was feeling a little bit better. But I started feeling like kind of nauseous and a little bit like shaky, like I really needed to eat or something.
Yeah, it can happen. It's amazing kind of what experiences you do have in that house. As I say, nothing is negative. It's most likely that they have so much energy, they kind of don't know how to control it, you know. And it does kind of influence you a bit as well. But I remember I think we just started off and you were sitting on the floor, if you remember that one, and you felt like a little something brushed past your head.
Yeah.
And then we did, you know, EVP, and we asked, I think it was, did you just touch my face? And the little girl's voice that said, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think the next EVP, Darcy asked, do you think Bridget is pretty? And we heard the girl respond, Bridget is pretty. which was crazy. That was an awesome EVP. It's an amazing house. I love it there.
For sure. And you recorded that investigation too, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Is that on YouTube?
It's not. So I need to actually piece it together and edit it. But I can give you the footage if you want it.
Yeah, totally. I think people would love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Adam goes to the house. You guys do an investigation. He said he had a great time and that he really liked the house. But he got to do something I didn't get to do. He got to go into the Mag House.
Oh, yeah. So the Mag House is awesome. So I've investigated the Mag now, it's probably at least 5 or 6 times. And for that night, so obviously it was a group investigation. Adam was with Benny in the house. We had Kenny and Michelle, who was also with Golden State Paranormal, but they're in Northern California, so they came down specifically for this. They were in the carriage house. Darcy was outside near the blacksmiths, and Stephanie, my wife, we were in the Mag House running that. And we got some incredible evidence through the Mag. You've got to come back and investigate it.
I do. So,
yeah, it's a beautiful place. And actually, Kenny, Michelle, Stephanie, and I investigated it the night before Adam's event. And we did Estes Method in there. And whew, that was interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got good evidence in there?
Very good evidence. And actually, evidence linking a particular spirit to the Kellogg House.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want me to tell this big story. Sure. So the Kellogg House, we know Helen is in the house. We also know Hiram, who is her husband, is in the house, mainly in the office area is where kind of he is. We also know that there are 2 kids in the house, a girl and a boy. We don't know where they came from at all. They're not any of the Kelloggs because the Kelloggs grew up into older age. So we're not too sure kind of where they came from. When Kenny, Michelle, Steffi and I investigated the house last year, we investigated the ground floor and yeah, we had some really good evidence in that area. And then we went upstairs and we were in the bedroom area and we had some equipment in the schoolroom. And the schoolroom's got a couple school desks and it's also got the stairs to the attic as well that are there. And this is where, I suppose this is probably one of my most profound experiences. So as you said in my bio, I used to be a 99% skeptic. And you know, 1%, I'll leave it open. Now it's almost flipped completely the other way. It's great capturing evidence with equipment. But as I say to people, one of the best pieces of equipment that you have is yourself. And it's up to you depending on kind of how you use it. So anyway, I'm in the bedroom. We got equipment, the bell and flashlight and REM pod in the schoolroom. And I'm positioned in an area where I cannot see the stairs in there at all. And you can see me, and this is on YouTube, so you can see me. I start asking questions, and I start to kneel down, and you can kind of see me just kind of go blank. But I'm still asking questions. And this is the most craziest part, is I'm standing spiritually now in the schoolroom, looking at a little girl sitting on the stairs. And I'm talking to this little girl. And I say, you can come forward, you can ring the bell, and the bell rings. And I'm like, this is insane. You can see me. I'm trying to process it while I'm in the schoolroom. And I talked to her and I didn't realize Kenny had gone around to the other door and put a piece of equipment in there. And they said, oh, you should ask the little girl this. I said, don't worry about it. She's run out and ran into the bedroom. And then you can kind of see me come back and I'm like, what am I talking about? Like, this is really weird. And I'm trying to process, did this actually just really happen? You know, am I going insane? Or, and I'm like trying to brush it off a little bit. So I wasn't really kind of explaining to them what was going on. Michelle says to Kenny, go sit at one of the desks in the schoolroom. And she said, Martin, you go sit in one of the desks as well. So we started doing EVP and we started asking, you know, some funny questioning. You know, do we look silly sitting at the desks and everything else? At that time, I'm still processing in my head, did this actually happen or not? I'm like, this is, you know, it sounds, you know, like I'm going crazy. You know, surely this couldn't have happened. I've never experienced this before. So anyway, we're doing EVP and I'm like, okay, did I see you sitting on the stairs? And then if I saw you sitting on the stairs, what color dress did you have on? And then cut it off. Anyway, so we go to play it back. And just before I play it back, I said to everyone, okay, if for some reason she answers, I said the dress was blue. So we play it back. The first couple questions, nothing. Did I see you sitting on the stairs? A little girl's voice. Yes, clear as day. And you can see my face on camera. I'm like, uh-oh. No, 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 no. What color dress did you have on? Blue.
Oh,
and Michelle yells out, she said blue. And I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, that just validated what happened. I'm like, okay, this is really weird. So anyway, one of the museum staff were there and he said, you know, can you say what color blue it was? I said, it was light blue. And he said, anything else? And I was like, yeah. So it had a white bib. I was explaining the dress and her completely. You know, she was about this tall, blonde hair, but it's curly at the end. You know, I was explaining everything. He went into the kids' room that we hadn't even been in yet, pulled the dress off the wall, and you can hear me off camera swear because I'm like, that's the dress.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. So then we did Estes method in the kids' room. We were getting evidence around the incident that happened with Hiram in the kitchen. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But the girl was coming through and she was, you know, I was like, you know, I was trying to kind of validate again, going, okay, trying to get evidence to kind of validate. And she said stairs. And I was like, yeah, saw you on the stairs. She's like, school. I said, yeah, saw you in the schoolroom. I'm trying to get her to say, you know, did I see you? And also what color it was. And at the end, what color dress did you have? Blue. And we're like, right, that's it. We're out of here. It's like, that's, you know, it's absolute kind of evidence there. So anyway, fast forward to her in the mag. The day before Adam Berry event, we do Estes method again. And there was a couple of things kind of coming through, and Stephanie said, ask her if we've spoken to her before. And we're in the mag, there's two large rooms on the ground floor. We've got Michelle set up doing Estes right by the windows. I'm in the other room towards the back of the room. So there is a lot of distance between us. So we make sure from an evidence point of view, there's no kind of influence between the two. And I said, you know, have we spoken to you before? She goes, I remember. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then we got upstairs, schoolroom, and we, you know, we started getting the same responses that we got in the Estes method that we were doing in the Kellogg house. And we're like, okay, this is the girl. Then we also got that John Magg was there, and we also got, John, are you here? Yes, with two others. And we believe it was this girl, and we believe Mary Elizabeth, one of the Magg family, is also in the house as well. Started going through and, of course, asking questions about what we found in the catalog. And she was being a little bit kind of cagey on things. And then we got to we found out her name. We believe her name is Ella. And she said that a number of different times. And then at the end, we're like, okay, if there's anything else you want to say, any of you that you want to say, John went, no. And we're like, okay, that's fine. And we're like, we're going to go now. So if there's anything else you want to tell us, she goes, it's blue. Referring to the dress, and we're
yeah.
Like, oh, far out. This is, yeah, it's definitely crazy. So we need to go back and investigate more and kind of see, you know, who she is. And we're hoping to go back this month and investigate on a specific day, which I believe is her birthday, and see whether that kind of prompts any evidence that kind of comes through, any activity.
Where, so you said they pulled a dress and it looked exactly like the dress that you saw. Where did that dress come from?
They don't know. So the museum gets donated a lot of, you know, items, and it came in one of those donations. Whether she just likes that dress because it's hanging up, that she kind of wears the dress around the house, we don't know. So we don't.
Or she might have come with the dress.
Potentially. Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of objects are, you know, carries that energy as well, right? So there's a lot more work that we need to do into it to kind of, you know, get down into exactly what's going on.
Yeah, well, and I just want to tell the listeners too, if you guys want to check out the Kellogg House or the Magg House, they're both at the Heritage Museum of Orange County, and they do ghost tours and they do regular tours, and the whole museum area is like really cool to go and see. So check it out. Oh, you guys had Amy Broody there too.
Yeah, so she came with Haunted OC, and she did her talk about kind of her experiences, about her history, and obviously her new book as well, which is her cookbook. So
yeah. So
yeah,
fun.
It was a great event having Amy there as part of Haunted OC.
Yeah.
I know I've mentioned it before, but I have to tell you how excited I am about my Nutrafol experience. I started taking Nutrafol back in December, and then we also got it as part of a Christmas present for my mother-in-law. So both of us have been taking it since around December. Maybe hers was more like January, and both of us have seen distinct improvement in hair growth. There are so many causes to thinning and shedding hair, from stress and nutrition to hormones to lifestyle. So many internal factors that affect what you see on the outside. Your hair is so much more than what you see when you look in the mirror. With Nutrafol's science-backed whole-body approach, nourish growth from within and achieve your best hair yet. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. And since everyone's root cause of hair thinning are different, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth. It just doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as 4 different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. So why not get started on your hair growth routine? It's simple. You just purchase online, no prescription required. Automated deliveries and free shipping keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20%. And you'll have access to free naturopathic doctor consults, and a Headspace meditation membership is included. Sounds like a deal to me. Start your hair growth journey with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code GHOSTBUNNY. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, that's spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code GHOSTBUNNY. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code GHOSTBUNNY.
Okay, so you got started in all of this stuff from doing your very first investigation at the Washoe in Virginia City. So let's go over to Virginia City. How did that come about? Like, you weren't really a believer in this. So what made you decide to do a ghost hunt?
So really it was COVID, right? So there was nothing on TV apart from, you know, we got to a point where I started watching ghost shows. And as I say, I was in 99%, I was like, no, whatever. And started watching these, and it kind of piqued my interest around the evidence that they were capturing. And I'm not going to say whether, you know, it was correct evidence or whether it was real or not. I don't know. I really want to find out for myself. So that kind of started to pique my interest. We went on vacation to Arkansas, I think it was, and we went to the Crescent Hotel.
I want to go there. That's on my list.
Oh, it was great. So we went there, we did, you know, the ghost tour and walked around. And there were some things that happened there that kind of made me think, okay, this is interesting. Just using my phone, you know, caught a few orbs that kind of defied gravity a little bit. You know, there are fans in the area through the hallways, but these orbs were moving differently than what they should do with fans in that area. I thought, okay, that's strange. And I captured this orb on camera and I thought, okay, I'm going to watch that later. Then we're in the hallway at like a crossroads, and the tour guide was talking. I was leaning up against the wall, and I just got this breeze that just came past my head. And I'm like, where did that come from? There was no one around me. I'm like, okay. So anyway, we went outside, and I said to Stephanie, I went, okay, I'm going to look at this video again because that looked interesting. Opened it up, went to my camera roll, and my phone froze, completely froze. I couldn't turn it on, I couldn't turn it off, I couldn't restart it, couldn't do anything with it at all. It just froze on. Never happened before, never happened again. And 15 minutes later, it automatically reset and came back on. I thought, okay, that's very interesting. So anyway, fast forward, we were looking around, and some of the shows that we're watching had Nick Groff on it. We saw that Nick Groff was doing an event at Virginia City for the Washoe Club, Territorial Enterprise, Knights of Pythias, and St. Mary's Church. And I said to my wife, I said, let's go. You know, let's go and check it out. Apparently it's one of the most haunted places in America. Let's go. So we did. And that is where we actually met Kenny and Michelle. Mm-hmm. We were in the same group together and, you know, created this great relationship. We love each other, you know, and when we get together, you know, we're just the bestest friends. So anyway, we get to the Washoe Club, and I think this is where it really kind of started to cement my belief. And the first thing that happened was, and again, it's this whole feeling thing, you know, trust your body.
Mm-hmm.
We went, obviously, the Washoe Club is a three-level building. On the ground floor is the bar. On the second floor is the ballroom and a number of other rooms. And then third room, there's Alexis Scotty's room, the red room, the music room up there as well. So we go upstairs, walking up the stairs, not a problem. Go into the ballroom. We're walking around kind of waiting to start because there's still a tour going on. So anyway, we're there for a period of time and Nick goes, let's go up to the third floor. Look, okay, that's great. Start walking up the stairs. I get to the third stair and it felt like I walked into like jelly. And it was, I had to physically pull myself using the handrail up the stairs. And I was like, this is a weird feeling. So anyway, get to the top of the stairs. It dissipates and goes away. I'm like, okay, that's really strange.
Yeah.
Some of the footage that we caught as well in the Washoe was we're in the music room. And this is when we're reviewing the footage once we got home. There was a grunting noise directly in front of my camera. And looking at everybody.
That's so scary.
Yeah, it was. I was listening to it and I'm like, what is that noise?
It's yeah.
Like a proper man grunting. And it's one of those noises where if anyone in the room had heard it, they would all be given the side eye, be going, why are you making that noise for? Nobody reacted. And I caught it directly in front of my camera. And Steph's camera, if she was a little bit further down in the room, you caught it on hers as well. Huh. And I was like, that's interesting. There was another incident where we're in the back of the Washoe in what's called the library. And Nick's using the portal device. And he's like, you know, can we see you? And a voice comes through and says, pay attention. And we're like, okay. And then on my camera, I catch this orb that comes up over my shoulder and just dives down through everybody. And I'm like, that's very interesting. So we capture that. We go to Knights of Pythias, and this is where it really cemented. So visual stuff, I'm like, okay, there might be a relative explanation around things. But this is where they started using the Panasonic digital recorder, the DR60, asking questions in a different room, coming back, and you could hear voices on it. I'm like, where are these voices coming from? This is, and as soon as I heard this, I was like, I got to have one of those.
Yeah.
So now I've got one. I've got two. with a lot of other equipment, as you know. But in that same building, we were in one room. There was a hallway connecting a room at the front. And there was someone in our group sitting on the floor, just with an iPhone, looking down the hallway. And in the front room, they had somebody with the digital DR60 recorder. We're all in the back room. And she captured a full shadow figure, walked straight across the doorway. And it was like, we played it back and we're like, who is that? And from there, I was hooked.
Yeah.
Absolutely hooked. But the Washoe Club, yeah, we've done it 10 times now. Every time is always completely different. We're doing it another 2 times at the end of March. Because we love the place.
And yeah.
We've now created a rapport with the spirits that are there. And we're finding more and more out about the Washoe Club and the people that are there as well.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's, we find going back and building a rapport is a really good way to capture evidence. So.
Definitely. Yeah, the Washoe Club is interesting. My brother got married in Virginia City and I coordinated a ghost tour the night before, kind of like the rehearsal dinner party, but it was like a scavenger hunt ghost tour type thing. And I coordinated it with, I asked for like the Virginia City Visitors Center to like help me do it and everything. And they were really helpful with everything. And it just so happened to be, there was a couple of places that I wasn't able to get into because Nick Groff was doing a tour the same night.
Oh, it might've been the same time.
No, I don't think, No, I don't think so. He was doing the Opera House. And so the Opera House was the main one that I couldn't do that I wanted to get into. But I was like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. And we have plenty of other spots and everything. But Nick heard that I was there and he was so nice. He sought me out and came up and like said hello and said that he wanted to like come to the Washoe House with us later, or the Washoe Club, sorry. And then so later that night, we were there with the wedding party and everything, and we're in the Washoe Club, and Nick Groff comes in and he tells us all about his experience there. And I knew Nick from working at the Travel Channel before. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's not like I knew him super well, but we had met before and shot some promo things for Travel Channel before and stuff. So it wasn't like I just totally didn't know who he was, but it wasn't like we knew each other. We were friends or anything like that. So it was really, really sweet of him to come in there and like talk to everybody and take photos with everyone and like talk about his experience and everything in there.
Yeah, he seems like a very genuine kind of guy.
Yeah, definitely.
We loved meeting him. We got that feeling off him. So this is another good story. And for everyone who knows this story, and it is a pretty private story, I have permission to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
So downstairs in the bar, one of the bar staff is called Louise.
Mm-hmm.
And Louise's husband passed away just over 2 years ago. And absolute love of her life. They were the epitome of soulmates. And we, at this point in time, this was July 2022, and we didn't really, even though we were being to obviously the Washoe Club a number of times, we didn't really kind of know Louise that well at the time. So anyway, we're investigating upstairs in the Washoe, and we're on the second level in the library area. Right next to the library area is a long hallway, and at the end of the hallway, there's a couple stairs with an air compressor there that overlooks the crypt. So that kind of gives you a general idea of where it is. So anyway, we're investigating. At that stage, there is Michelle, Kenny, myself, Stephanie, and Zach. So Zach used to be a tour guide of the Washoe Club and is part of our team as well. So we're investigating. We've been a couple hours into it. And we go, okay, let's go investigate what was the old library area. So we walk in. Something tells me, go and put the REM pod on the stairs in the hallway. And mind you, the REM pod has never, ever, in the 10 times that we've been in the Washoe Club, ever gone off. I place the REM pod down on the stairs. I take two steps away from it. The REM pod goes off. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And it stops. I said, okay, if someone's here with me, can you touch it again? And it goes off again. I'm like, oh, okay. So everyone's sitting up in the library. I get the digital recorder out. I start recording, asking, you know, who is it? You know, asking kind of general questions. Play it back, nothing. So anyway, by this stage, everyone's like, are you talking to someone? I'm like, you know, the REM pod's going off. They're like, REM pod's going off? I'm like, yeah. So anyway, there was nothing on the recording. And they're like, you sure you're talking to someone? I said, well, if someone's here, can you touch the REM pod again? REM pod goes off. And we're like, okay. So we ask Zach. We're like, hey, Zach. Has anything ever happened in this area before? You know, that maybe it's this person? He goes, oh, yeah. So on one of my tours, somebody was down the other end of the hallway and took a photo looking back towards the stairs and captured the face of Louise's husband right here. And we're like, what? He goes, yeah, his face kind of appeared like in this area here. And we're like, okay. We're like, do we know his name? He goes, oh, yeah, his name's Steve. We're like, Steve, is this you? The REM pod starts going off. We're like, oh, okay. So we set up the flashlight as well because, you know, sometimes the flashlight is easier to use. So we're like, okay, Steve, if you're here, can you turn the flashlight on? Boom, flashlight comes right on. We're like, oh, okay. So then we're standing there for a minute going, well, what do we ask? Like, usually we talk to spirits who, you know, from 1800 something, have no idea who they are. We'll just capture whatever evidence. This is someone potentially we could verify exactly what is going on. So in the end, we decide, well, hey, do you want to pass on a message? Because we have potentially have the ability to do that. It's not up to us to share it. Because I said, we didn't really kind of know Louise at that time. But we might be able to capture it. And if she's willing, might want to listen to it. Flashlight straight on. Like, okay. So we use EVP and I said, I'm going to count down from three. As soon as you've finished, you know, let us know. So anyway, click record. Couple seconds go by, flashlight comes on. And I'm like, I'll hold it a little bit longer. Flashlight turns off. And then the REM pod goes. I'm like, okay, so you're obviously finished. Turn it off, play it back. And it is incredible. He says, in normal voice, I love you. And then obviously with the flashlight coming on, he was like, yeah, I'm finished. Thinking we didn't hear it or didn't know, he then yells it, I love you. And then the REM pod went off. So I said, hey,
chills.
So I said, hey, Steve, if you said I love you, can you turn the flashlight on? Bright as day, the flashlight comes on. We're like, whoa. So then we start asking questions, you know, around, you know, did you show yourself in the photo hoping it would get back to Louise? Flashlight straight on. Okay. So we kept on asking these questions and we were getting direct answers. It was just insane. And in the moment, you know, we were so emotional as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we finish up that session and, you know, we leave and we come back in October. So a few months later, nobody had mentioned anything to anybody. And Zach had turned up to the washout early into the bar area. I walk in, Zach comes over and goes, Louise asked if we talked to Steve the last time we were here. And I was like, did you say something? He goes, nope. I'm like, how did she know?
Yeah.
Like, okay. So I went over to Louise and said, yeah, we did. Do you want to see the video? And she's like, yeah. So I had the video with me. So we took her to another room, sat her down and played her the video of Steve passing this message. As soon as it got to that point, she goes, said, I love you. And we're like, how did you hear that? She goes, because that's his voice. And we're like, oh, okay. So anyway, we finished that and it was extremely emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask her, look, there's no guarantee, but if he's still there, do you want to pass the message back to him? So she wrote out a message. I didn't read it. I put it in my pocket. And I asked questions only specific to Steve, you know, just certain kind of questions that only he would know, that are not generic kind of questions. And I put them in my phone, and the answers in my phone. And that night we went back up there. First got there, nothing. We're like, okay, that's fine. Investigated other parts of the washout. Towards the end of the night, we came back. Steve was there again. And we're like, okay. So passed the message back to him and then started asking these specific questions and nailed every single one of them. And the rest of the team didn't know the questions and they didn't know the answers.
Yeah.
So then I showed them on my phone, check out the questions and answers. And they're like, wow. So then the next morning we met up with Louise again and showed her the video from that night. And again, it was an emotional night. And then since we've been there since, he's no longer there. So we think that, or I think that, the love was so strong that even in the afterlife, he wanted to get a message through to say, I'm okay. And I still love you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everything will be okay. And then at a stage in the future, we'll be back together again. You know, that this is possible.
Yeah. Right?
So, yeah, it was one of the most profound experiences I think the whole team has ever had, primarily because the evidence we captured could be validated with somebody who knew the person.
Yeah.
So that was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing.
Definitely. Will you tell the story too about the steps again, the back steps, somebody coming in?
Yeah. So the back steps. So this was a point where four of the team, so myself, Stephanie, Michelle, and our friend Kerry were upstairs in Scotty's room. And Zach and Kenny had gone down to the crypt area on the ground floor. It was level one, we're on level three. So with the Washoe Club, there are back stairs that come from the bar area up the back and enters into the library area in between our two floors. And Zach and Kenny had gone down. It was about 10 minutes that they had been gone. And we're sitting there, we're doing EVP work, so we're relatively quiet. And we hear about 10 footsteps onward outside on the wooden stairwell. We could hear the steps step up into the washer and the door creak open. And we captured it on camera. I had a camera in the poker room, which is right next door to the door on the entry there. And we thought, geez, I come back pretty early. You know, we were expecting them to be down there for a while. Until we realized there were no footsteps inside. So we went and looked outside and nobody was there. Half an hour later, Zach and Kenny come back up and we're like, did you guys come up? And they're like, no, we've been down there the whole time. And we're all wearing sneakers. And this was like solid boots on wood. And there's no way that you can get to this area unless you come through the Washoe Club. And we had the whole building to ourselves. Once Zach and Kenny had come up, and again, this is on YouTube, we were doing EVPs with Scotty up there and he was nailing our names and some other questions as well. And we said, hey, Scotty, do you know the names of the two guys who have just walked in here? And we play it back, it's clear as day. Zach and Kenny.
That's so crazy.
And it's probably the most lively I've ever seen Zach before. He got up and walked out. He was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And it's clear as day. So yeah, we got a great rapport with Scotty. So and on YouTube is the like hour long Estes method that we did. And it was, you know, question answer. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's so cool.
When we were there, so we usually kind of get to go up whenever we want. And we go up in between tours. And we were doing EVPs with Scotty. And this EVP, which was in March last year, and we said, oh, we're going to be back tomorrow night to investigate. And he replied, it's my birthday. And we're like, okay. And we kept on asking, you know, and it kept on coming up, birthday. So we're like, okay, that's really weird. So we, on EVP, we ask, okay, do you want us to bring you something? Do you want a beer? You know, do you want a balloon? Do you want a cake? It was a beer was no. Balloon, there was no answer. Cake, the answer was cake. And we're like, okay. So anyway, we get to the next night, we start investigating, we go up into Scotty's room, we found a cupcake, which was very difficult to find in Virginia City, and Louise had actually given us a candle to use as well, so we thought, okay, let's see whether he's there, and he wasn't there, which was unusual. So we, usually when we're up there, we get responses from him, we know he's there, everything else. He wasn't there. We're like, this is really weird. So anyway, we sung happy birthday. We lit the candle, sung happy birthday, did all of that stuff. So did our bit. And then we had some other spirits come through that we've never ever talked to before, which was, again, a different story. We come back the next day and do some EVPs and Scotty's back. And we're like, what happened? So we were like, we were here last night for your birthday. Where were you? And the EVP response was, I was out. We don't know where, but we assume he took all the other spirits from the Washoe Club with him because there was other spirits that were usually we talk to,
yeah,
didn't get to talk to that night. So we think he went out. So
they had a ghost party.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah. That was an amazing response. I was out. I was like, why didn't you know?
What do you think I was? It was my birthday.
Oh, my birthday. We're like, we're standing here like idiots around this cupcake singing happy birthday and you're out partying it up.
That's funny.
Yeah. So it's crazy story. Yeah.
I love it. So I know the Mackey Mansion. I went back for a paranormal conference in Virginia City. Doug Carnahan used to do it. He has since passed away, but I went as a guest speaker for that. And I got a private tour at the Mackey Mansion. It was just my dad and my friend. And I got like a weird vision problem in there. Like my eyes went blurry and stuff. And I thought I was having a health issue or something. But then when we walked outside, it all cleared up and went away. So I think it was like a paranormal thing to do with that house, but I'm not sure.
Look, as I say, trust the tool that you have, right? It's, you know, you can experience things in different ways is what I've found. You know, I can go into a room and I can tell you whether there's energy in there or not.
Yeah.
Right? It's weird kind of having those experiences and listening to your body around certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I've got a real kind of tell if I walk into a room, the left-hand side of my head, I'll start getting an instant headache straight away. And as soon as I walk out, it goes. Yeah, listen to Yvonne. And no doubt it was probably a paranormal experience.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know the Territorial Enterprise building. Where's that one?
It's in Virginia City on the main street. So the Territorial Enterprise building used to be the Territorial newspaper. And this is where a person called Samuel Clemens.
Yes.
Went to work at the Territorial Enterprise, and it's the location where he changed his name to Mark Twain.
Okay.
So the Territorial building, which is still there, has still a lot of the printing presses downstairs. You can go and investigate, and we did.
Okay.
So we get in there. We knew that there was an office across the road, and that is most likely where Mark Twain worked. And we did some EVPs while we were down there. One, and I wish it was clearer, but you know, we started off doing EVP and said, hey, can you tell us your name? And when we played it back, both Michelle and I looked at each other straight away and said, did that just say Mark Twain?
Oh my gosh.
And we're like, oh, we played it back a few times and we're like, oh, you can hear the Twain, but the mark isn't as clear, but you can hear the Twain in it. And we're like, ooh, okay. And we asked, you know, did Mark Twain work? Because his desk is still there. It's in the basement. And we said, did Mark Twain work here or did he work across the road? And Perfect Response said, across the road. And we're like, okay. But, you know, there's not just him there. There's a lot of other kind of spirits there as well.
Uh-huh.
There was one where on the back wall, I assume written in printer's ink, there's a lot of names and dates that are written on the wall. And it's obviously the employees that used to work there, you know, obviously write their name on it and what year it was. So we asked, you know, hey, is anyone here that's got their name written on the wall? And the first name at the top of the wall was Ben Jones. And when we played the EVP back, it goes, Ben Jones. And we're like, okay. We said, can you tell us what year you wrote your name on the wall?
Stop it.
I'm not joking. And it goes, 1900, written next to Ben Jones's name on the wall, 1900.
Wow,
this is some great evidence.
Yeah.
And there was also a mummy in the basement as well of a girl you would have seen on a number of different ghost shows.
Wait, I don't know about the mummy. I've been there like five times.
Yeah, so the owners who bought the building, they hadn't been down there for a number of years after they bought it, and they started kind of cleaning everything up, lifted a sheet up, and there in a glass case is a mummy of a young girl. How old? We're not too sure.
Yeah.
But the people that let us in the building said, try and find out as much as you can about her. Because they were already going through the process or starting the process of finding out where she came from. You know, we knew that she was Native American, just the way that it was dressed in a kind of a ceremonial basket, and, you know, try and find out as much as possible because they want to return her properly back to where she came from. So we did EVPs. We got some incredible evidence kind of come through. We know she was from California. We know she was from Northern California. That she died of, we believe, a sickness. And there was a couple other, can't remember the exact EVPs, but a lot of kind of other evidence that came through as well. And then just after we were there, they locked the entire building down because they started to go through that process to hand her back. And now she is back with the tribe that
that
she came from, which is great. And it's kind of, you know, we're I'm still waiting for some information to come back to see whether the evidence that we captured matches kind of what they've found as well through DNA processing.
Yeah.
So it would be very interesting. But, you know, that's a great story of kind of helping out to kind of get someone back to where they're supposed to be and kind of have peace.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Virginia City is so incredible. So for the listeners, if you haven't been, like, it's a really incredible place. And literally the whole town is haunted. Like, there's nowhere that doesn't have a story.
Oh, as soon as you come up the hill to Virginia City, you can feel the vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And everywhere, seriously, everywhere is haunted in that place.
And it's really cute. And there's lots of places to stay and lots of places to eat and lots of fun bars. And they have a nightlife and they embrace the ghost hunting. So if you're looking for a place to go ghost hunting, that's not going to get mad at you or, you know, or that are willing to talk about it, like, they totally are.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of places you can hire out there to investigate. And obviously the Washoe is one of those.
And the Mackey Mansion. I've always wanted to do the schoolhouse.
Oh, same. So I reached out to them and they went, no.
They're not into it. They're the only place. And I, because I just got done saying how the whole place is welcoming except the schoolhouse.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I've heard rumors that they may be starting to kind of open it. So I kind of have to work my connections to see whether we can get in there.
But yeah.
As soon as you drive past it, you're like, I want to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried, but haven't been able to get in yet.
You know, another spot that I just feel is haunted just from the parking lot. I've never been inside, but if you go down the hill, and I forget what the street is, but there's a building and it's like an art center now, but it used to be the mining hospital.
Yes.
That place looks haunted.
Absolutely. And I'm 100% believe it is. So that's another one where I've contacted them and say, hey, can we get in and investigate? And again, they're kind of opening up to it. There is some times throughout the year where you can actually go spend the night there.
Yeah.
And just sleep there, but not really kind of investigate. So hopefully as our kind of name goes through Virginia City and people kind of know us a little bit more, then we can kind of open a few more doors. So
I know people have definitely investigated it. So I know they're not closed to it, but they just might be limited who they like let in until they get to know people and stuff.
I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So then this is where Golden State Paranormal was formed, but there's kind of like the Southern California and then the Northern California one, right?
Yeah. So Kenny and Michelle are in Marysville in Northern California, and we're here in Anaheim, California. So you know, it's great when we get together and we investigate, but we also investigate separately as well.
Yeah.
You know, we can't always kind of travel and get to investigate with each other. So we've got other people who kind of join us as well. You know, Darcy is really great friend, investigates extremely well.
Yes.
We've been with us as also. We've had some of our other friends come with us to the Cowog House as well and investigate. So we kind of investigate wherever we can and whenever we can. So
yes. Well, yeah. I'm from Northern California, so I'm gonna have to meet up with your other half and do an investigation over there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they'll be willing to take you around.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, I have to get to some other things before we run out of time. I need to know about your experience on the Queen Mary.
Yeah, so Queen Mary. So actually we met this couple, so I'll tell you a story. We met this couple on the Queen Mary who are now our best friends. Corey and Christy. And we met them in the bar, and I had my Malmeter with me. And we were talking, and he was like, oh, apparently this place is haunted. A guy, I don't believe in it whatsoever. And we're like, it's okay. And he said, oh, what's that? Satellite phone. I said, no, it's a device for hunting ghosts. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know. So anyway, we're talking, and we that was kind of in the afternoon. We had drinks, then we had dinner with them, and then they're like, what are you guys doing? We're going ghost hunting. And they're like, can we come with you? We're like, I thought you said this was all, you know. And we said, yeah, absolutely, come with us. So we were outside the pool area. Unfortunately, it was closed off. But now we put the flashlight out and a few other devices. And the flashlight was questioned.
Oh, the pool area. Pool. I thought you said the pole. I was like, wait, what is the pole?
It's the accent. It's the pool.
The pool area. Yes, very haunted.
Yeah, so the flashlight was going on and off. And you could see him just going, what is going on? So anyway, it kind of the energy dies off and we're going to go, and he goes, can I see the flashlight? I was like, yeah. Just picked it up, goes, here you go. He took it completely apart looking for some type of switch or something. He goes,
this is rigged.
Yeah, he was like, it's just a flashlight. And we, yeah, just a flashlight. He goes, how's it turning on? So you tell me. He's like, okay. But anyway, we went to the back of the ship. There's some internal stairs. And I take my SLS camera with me. And his wife is on the first landing just down the stairs. And she's standing there going, oh, I feel kind of weird. And I'm like, okay. I said, put your arms out and kind of, you know, get into the moment. Just as a stick figure appeared on the SLS camera right next to her.
Oh,
didn't say anything. And she goes, oh, it feels like something's next to me.
Hmm.
And I was like, yeah, there is. And I said, put your hand out. So can you touch your hand? And you can see it, grab her hand. And then straight after, she's like, it feels like someone's touching my hand.
Wow.
Like, we hadn't told her anything. It was like, so that was incredible. I kneel down. I'm kind of asking questions at the top of the stairs. And I'm asking questions. And Corey and Stephanie, they're using the SLS camera. So they're back against the wall. And I just start to feel kind of headache and sick. And I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling too well. Just as they said, there's a stick figure standing on top of you. And I'm like, I can feel that. Yeah, it was crazy. So we had some great SLS, some work on there. We went back again another time and did the paranormal tour.
Mm-hmm.
They took us into room B340, which mm-hmm. is the famous haunted room on the ship.
Yeah.
And when the tour finished, the tour guide said, do you want to go back in the room? Like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we went back in for about half an hour, and energy was pretty low. We weren't getting kind of too many responses until we started asking questions about the tours. So we did EVP and we said, do you like the tours coming through here? And I said, do you want the tours to stop? And when I played it back, it goes, do you like the tours coming through here? It goes, yes, I do. And I was like, do you want the tours to stop? And he goes, no, thanks. So it
wow.
was a great experience. But there's other areas of the ship I'd love to investigate, but you have to do it with a group rather than just investigate for ourselves. So hopefully one day we can get in there and kind of have reign of the after hours areas and kind of investigate a little bit more on that ship.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've gotten to do full reign on the ship before by myself.
Oh, I mean, so jealous.
When I say by myself, my mom was with me and a lady who was head of housekeeping that had a key to every door on the ship. But other than that, and there was a security guard roaming around, but it was like 2 days before they opened the ship to the public after COVID.
Oh, so jealous.
It was incredible. It was incredible.
I bet. Yeah, I'd love to get back on there and yeah, go to all the areas that you're not allowed to after hours. That would be great.
Yes, it was so awesome. I'll let you know if I get another experience like that and have you join me.
I'll be right there. I'll bring all my equipment with me.
Yes. The Los Angeles Police Museum, before you even tell me about it, I have to know, did you do this? Did you happen to do it with Tammy from Hollyweird?
No.
Okay.
I did it with, I think they're called Hollywood Ghost Hunters.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was a group one there. I just saw it online and went, hey, I'm gonna go along to this. And there was a couple things that happened.
Uh-huh.
It was within a group environment that were doing it. So they were kind of leading it as well. But yeah, there was some great evidence that kind of came through. Absolutely.
It's interesting because Tammy was the first person that I saw do the Los Angeles Police Museum. And it makes sense that it would be haunted. But at the same time, I was really surprised that they allow even stories of that to be out or like anybody to investigate.
Yeah. And actually, they're really open to it.
Yeah.
So I went back again. So my dad used to be a policeman in New Zealand. And when he was out here on vacation, I took him to the museum. Because he is a police historian as well.
Oh, cool.
And so I got talking to them and said, you know, I did this group investigation. You know, am I able to come back with the group and investigate it properly? And they went, yeah, absolutely. Here's the name that you need to call. So they're definitely open to it. And yeah, I think it's a lot of activity around people who used to obviously be jailed there. And no doubt there's stories around people maybe passing away, but also attached to the objects that are there. You know, they've got all the equipment from the, was it the Hollywood shootout?
In the 80s. Wow.
So they have what the guys were wearing. They have their weapons. They have all these things. And we were getting some evidence in that room right in front of the display case with the clothes and the weapons. And I captured on camera, so I had my REM pod right in front of it, and there is a flashing orb that comes down from the ceiling. And as it's coming down, the REM pod is just going nuts. And as soon as it disappears, it stops. So that is an interesting time when the REM pod has gone off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go off too many times, to be honest. So that was an interesting piece of evidence too.
When Holly and I were on the Queen Mary, we put a REM pod, we had a suite, and we put a REM pod in the bedroom part, and her and I were in the living room, and we were recording a podcast, and the REM pod would not stop beeping nonstop to the point where we were like, we have to turn it off because we can't even do the podcast.
Jeez.
Like constant. And then I slept in that room that night. That's the night I got the tour, got free reign of everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the REM pod, When it goes off, it means something, right? It doesn't just go off from what I've found. I was in a hotel in Portland. Again, I was on a work trip. So, of course, haunted hotels, you know.
Yeah.
And I stayed in this place. It was McMenamin's in Edgefield. And it's an old poorhouse from back in the day. And supposedly haunted and everything else. So, as I do, I took my equipment with me. I got to my room. Started setting everything up, and I set the flashlight up on the couch, and I put a REM pod on the table, and I was setting up my camera. I hadn't even turned it on yet, and the flashlight came on. I went, okay, could be something, could be, you know, maybe it's rolled over and turned on, because obviously with the flashlight, you know, it's a twist flashlight.
Okay.
You know, you turn it so it's just on, and then you back it off until it just turns off again, and they can manipulate it. So I was setting my camera up and said, okay, if someone's here with me, can you turn the flashlight off and go and touch the red light sitting on the table? So anyway, the flashlight turns off. I'm like, okay. And I said, yeah, if someone's here, can you touch the red light on the table? And then the REM pod starts going nuts. I'm like, oh, this room is haunted.
Wow. Oh.
So there's probably a good 2 hours of equipment use and EVPs and everything else in this room. And I left the equipment on in the room while I was sleeping, and I didn't get too much sleep, to be honest. So everything was going off all the time.
That's funny. Yeah, that was like our Queen Mary thing. Like, we literally had to turn it off. I need to know about Waverly Hills, because that is like number one on my bucket list right now.
Yeah.
My bucket list changes all the time. Every time somebody tells me about a new spot, I'm like, oh, that's my new spot. That's my new spot. But Waverly Hills has stayed up there.
Waverly Hills was always on my bucket list. It's one of those places which, as soon as you see it, you know what it is.
Yeah.
And we, Stephanie and I, were on vacation over Christmas. And we were going through Kentucky, and we're in Louisville. And I was like, Waverly Hills is there. So I kept on checking online to see if anything was going. And last minute, it popped up. There's a group investigation at Waverly Hills on the 28th of December. And I said, Stephanie, oh, we got to go. We're like right here. That night, we had actually left Louisville and we went down to Bowling Green. So in the end, we drove 2.5 hours back just to investigate.
Yeah.
And then drove back again after the investigation. But it was a group investigation. You got 6 hours to investigate. And there's a group of people. There's about 40, 45 people that are there. But, you know, we're talking Waverly Hills. This is 187,000 square feet. This is a massive building. And the majority of the time, we were by ourselves. So it was basically a private investigation for us investigating this place. Now, I was a little bit hesitant kind of going into it just because of my Bobby Mackey experience and thinking maybe this is, you know, a scary environment. But actually, it wasn't. It's a very peaceful place.
Oh.
It just looks intimidating because of the size of it and what it looks like today.
Mm-hmm.
But we got nothing but positive kind of vibes from it. It was interesting. We set up a couple in a couple different locations, and we were starting to get, you know, the bell going off, the flashlight turning on, and a couple other things going. As soon as someone from one of the groups kind of came up and looked through the door, completely dead. As soon as someone started looking, it would stop. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
On 2 photos that I took on my iPhone, I always do live photos. So you can play back the video, but you can also play audio. Captured 2 EVPs on those photos.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think they were residual. So one, the first 2 words kind of don't make sense. It sounds like do former, which doesn't sound right, but it goes, do former didn't do it. And the didn't do it is very clear. And then the second one that one sounds like a very British woman, very posh. The next one said, yes, doctor, I'll get you a new shirt. Very weird.
So, well, there was a nurse that died there, right? That's one of the main ghost stories there. Absolutely. So I feel like that makes sense for her to possibly say that.
Possibly, yeah. And this was in the area that was open to the elements. So, you know, where they would wheel them all out into the sun, hoping that obviously the sun was going to cure them.
Mm-hmm.
The next part was when we were just about leaving. So we went down to the body chute. And bear in mind, it was raining outside. So there was quite a few kind of drips that were happening. And there was a family that was standing there, husband and wife and a teenage son. And they were just standing there in the silence. So we came along and we just stood there with them. And after about 30 seconds, I said, is anyone down the end of the body chute? And they're like, we're not too sure. And the son goes, do you hear that as well? And I said, the full-on conversation at the end of the body chute. He goes, yeah. So we yell out, put the flashlight down there. Nobody is down there. I'm like, okay, that's really weird. So we go lights out again. About 10 seconds into it, two men start talking again. And like, and the son goes, do you hear that? I said, yep, can hear it again. And then you can hear a woman's voice chime in. But it was not loud enough for you to understand exactly what they were talking, but you could hear the conversation going on. And that went on for minutes.
Yeah.
But we didn't have time to investigate the body chute anymore because we actually had to leave and head back. But it's a location where, yeah, we want to go back with the group and investigate it properly. But just being there at Waverly Hills, bucket list.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. I want to do that. Did you see the crawler?
No, didn't.
I would be so creeped out by that, but I secretly want to see it.
Yeah, we met a group of other guys who, they got followed by the crawler last time they were there.
Oh, I don't want to get followed. I just want to see it go crawling by.
Yeah, so they got followed down the hallway. So,
yikes. Yeah. All right. One more place, Rolling Hills.
Rolling Hills was a trip. Again, it was a work trip. So it's amazing the places I go when I'm working. But it was just a historical tour of Rolling Hills.
Mm.
And I had been there once before, but hadn't been in and always wanted to go back in. So when I went back, they were doing a historical flashlight tour. So lights out, she would show you around the building, tell you all the historical stuff. Again, just a place of love, nothing negative in there at all. Even though it used to be an asylum, I didn't really kind of feel anything that was negative in there. But, I mean, it started when I was outside. So I turned up early. I was waiting outside. And they had external lights on. Not a problem. She comes out, checks us in. We're waiting for some other people. As the outdoor lights just start flickering on and off. And we're all looking at it going, that's strange. Bearing in mind, it's not the first time it's happened to me as well. Lights have turned on and off for me as well. But then we go in and we finally get up to, I think it's the third floor. Just as I look down through a doorway and I see a shadow figure walk straight past. And I'm like, whoa. And I don't want to be that person on this tour going, oh, there's a shadow figure. And then she goes, yeah, this is called the Hallway of Shadows. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. So anyway, she brings us down the end of the hallway and we're looking back towards that same doorway. Just as you see a leg kind of come up from it and then disappear again. And everyone's like, did you see that? We're like, yeah, we saw that. So I'd showed her a few pieces of equipment that I had. So we get to the last room and we did some EVPs in that room. She's like, my friend's going to do some EVP recordings because he's got a better recorder than I have. I'm like, okay. So anyway, we do some EVP recordings and it comes back a little bit muffled. So you can't really kind of make it out. There was a good yes response to one of the questions. But then she goes, I give you some time to go and wander by yourself. So I'm like, I'm off.
Yeah.
So I run off to this room by myself. As soon as I put the REM pod down, or the MEL meter that I had, the MEL REM's going off like crazy. I'm like, can you stop that? And it stops. I'm like, okay, somebody's here. Place the flashlight down. And for a good 20 minutes, just having this interaction with somebody in this room. And it was interesting. I found out it wasn't a staff member. It was actually a patient. And this was the nutrition room. So it was the staff nutrition room where patients used to come up here and obviously, you know, get guidance in terms of what they should be eating and everything else. I found out she's there because she just likes that room. It was a room that she enjoyed going to. But by the time I finished, the entire tour group was in the room with me watching, which was a little bit intimidating. And then when we left, they were like, that was incredible. That was incredible. Thank you so much. I'm like, okay, I hope that was good.
That's cool.
But a very active place.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And another one that I want to go back and just spend some time.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, it's a place where you have to have at least two people. They don't let you in there by yourself.
Okay.
I couldn't do it when I was traveling, but I'd love to go back.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, Martin, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories with me. Tell everybody listening how they can, whatever you want to promote, follow you on social media or book a tour with you or Kellogg House Heritage Museum, whatever you want.
Absolutely. So follow us. We put evidence out when we obviously capture it. You can follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of your socials you can see there. Absolutely. Check out the Heritage Museum of Orange County. That is where the Kellogg House and the Mag House is. If you want to investigate that, you can. Please contact them. If you want us to come along and help you with the investigation, we're more than willing to do it. We'll bring our equipment and have a good time as well. And also Haunted OC. Do the historical tours and ghost tours with a number of different places, including the Heritage Museum of Orange County and the Kellogg House and Santa Ana, downtown Santa Ana. And that is Darcy Staniforth, who does those particular tours. She's an incredible tour guide. So if you want to do that, don't miss it. She is awesome. And they do other locations as well, including Fullerton, Black Star Canyon, San Juan Capistrano. So follow all of those. But if you want to see us, just go to the socials.
Awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Ghost Bunny Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today on my spooky adventures. And I look forward to sharing a new ghost story with you each week. Please subscribe to our podcast so you're always the first to know when a new episode is out, and follow us on social media at Ghost Bunny Podcast on Instagram and at Ghost Bunny Podcast on YouTube. Bye, guys.
Bye.